at the end of the day, we have the best raw materials. You know, you can go across the street and there's orchards and vineyards and all that. We collaborate with all of them regularly. There's not only just tremendous natural resources out here, but there's tremendous experience. And if you're smart enough to kind of keep your mouth shut for a little while and listen, it's amazing.
Science is everything. And of all the sciences, agriculture is undoubtedly one of the most useful. It involves the cultivation of the soil which grows our crops and the rearing of animals to provide wool and food. But there's another practical application for science which leads to another deeply beloved part of the human experience, alcohol. It's time to talk whiskey. I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand. I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today, we're headed to the extreme northeast corner of the state, north on I-985 to Clayton, Georgia, about 9 miles shy of the Georgia-North Carolina line. This is where we'll meet Doug Nasser at Moonrise Distillery, where they blend science and art to create world-class, award-winning spirits.
We decided we're going to do it the way it used to be made, by a family structure that used to be there, not corporate, right? And to do it without compromise.
Yeah.
So, and by the grace of God, we found ourselves in Raven County, Georgia.
Good thing for everybody.
That's right.
Doug says he feels a community responsibility to make the best product he can with the best natural resources he can find. Luckily in Georgia, there's no shortage of the good stuff.
When we came into this community, and they supported us, and every day we feel like we need to return that courtesy. So every day we can't compromise. We have to make the best stuff. We are here morning till night. We use the best ingredients found in Raven County, right? The water in Raven County, Kentucky says a lot about their limestone aquifers. Guess what? We got really good water too.
That's right.
Right?
Coming from the National Forest.
That's right. Yeah. So we have beautiful, beautiful, beautiful natural resources. At the end of the day, we have the best raw materials. You know, you can go across the street and there's orchards and vineyards and all that. We collaborate with all of them regularly. There's not only just tremendous natural resources out here, but there's tremendous experience. And if you're smart enough to kind of keep your mouth shut for a little while and listen, it's amazing.
Though Doug was once an outsider, he's now very proud to be a Raven County resident. And his work has made the community proud. You could say he's literally helped put Raven County on the map.
And, so now when you see Raven County on national maps because of some of the work we're doing, in addition to everything else this county does, you feel like you're contributing a little bit. And that's our thing. You know, we're not from here, but we're definitely about here.
To get the full story, we need to start at the beginning.
So this place started in 2012, and it was a couple little hobby stills. And 10 years later, you know, we've got 36 gold medals. We are rated 96 nationally with our bourbons. We're right up there and even above some of the big boys, which is nice. Our vodka and gin equally as decorated. Our snow cream, which we tease and say it tastes like what a popular snow cream that you hear about all the time wishes it tasted like.
Okay.
So we have a good time with that. But 36 gold medals. When we started, we saw 30 people a month coming through our distillery here in Clayton, and now we see over 8,000 people a month. So we are blessed to have some really good customers.
Customer service is just one of many hats worn by Doug over the course of his career. His deep background in science and technology are a strong cornerstone of his work at Moonrise Distillery, but it was training from some seasoned vets which gave him the tools he needed for his whole endeavor.
I had the privilege of training under some of the meanest, nastiest, grumpiest, smartest old guys, you know, and
they knew a lot though.
They knew a lot. And yeah, the neat thing about what we do is every day we teach, but every day we learn. And that's what's so fascinating about this industry. I've had the opportunity to be in high technology and, you know, touch a bunch of different industries in my career. And you always got to the point where you kind of plateaued, you know, and I had the opportunity to invent some things and work with some really smart people, you know, and my mantra always was, you didn't need to be the smartest guy in the room, but if you could build rooms of super smart people, you could make some pretty good things happen. You know, so here, you know, we've got a great team. And we're in a beautiful part of the country.
Winning awards is only half the battle. Great brands have great names. Moonrise Distillery gets its name from an oft-forgotten part of American history.
So 1920, horrible thing happened to this country, right? Prohibition.
Yeah.
Right? So in Prohibition, of course, when that came down, when that amendment was passed, you couldn't be in a building like this and make it. So where could you get away with it? Maybe. Up in the woods,
yeah.
You know, under the light of the rising moon, moonrise. So it's a testimonial to our tradition. If you look, our bottle tops, mm-hmm. We hand dip the wax, and our wax is actually a light blue color to match the water that's up here. So we've got some amazingly pure water. This location, this area, is historically accurate and period authentic for people that make spirits. Been going on a long time up here.
Yeah, heard stories.
Uh-huh. And so our view on that's pretty simple. If those people hadn't gone through everything they had to go through to make and sell, there's a lot of families and a lot of communities that wouldn't have made it through some very tough times if they hadn't done that. So we're celebrating that, you know, in our expansion area. So we've got an ever-growing Raven County Moonshine Museum that we're collecting a lot of stuff from local folks. Some fascinating history.
Sounds like
it. Fascinating history. So it's great to be a part of it.
Yes, there is much education involved in making these expertly crafted spirits. But the fundamentals of creating an enjoyable and welcoming environment which customers can call home isn't rocket science. Just next to the distillery itself is Moonrise Distillery's beautiful bar, fashioned after classic speakeasies from the 1920s. It's the perfect place to enjoy cocktails made with this wide variety of fine Georgia distilled spirits from Moonrise. This warm and friendly setting keeps people coming back time and time again.
We have locals that are regulars that come from 50 states. We may see some once a year, four times a year, but when they're in town, we see them every day. And that's rewarding. Yeah. And when the other craftspeople and business owners in this town send people to us, that's rewarding. We love the fact that we tend to get people for 2 to 3 hours, and then we get to direct them to all the other businesses in town. So there's just so many people up here that may have even gone through 2 or 3 stages of life. They moved up here or they grew up here, and they'd rather die than let you have a bad experience, you know? And it's just an amazing group of people with great character. If you looked at our business model and our business plan when we first wrote it, we titled it Gilligan's Island because I wanted to create a place where people would want to come for a 3-hour tour.
I like right? it, okay.
And the second line of the business plan said you didn't need an MBA from Wharton to figure this out. Use the best ingredients, use the best tradecraft without compromise, and treat everybody like family. And if you do, they tell 2 friends, and so on and so on, and they come back and they bring friends, and that's how we've been able to grow. You know, we're in over 1,000 bars, restaurants, and liquor stores in Georgia, and that's not because we've called on every bar, restaurant, and liquor store. It's because our customers come and do this kind of tasting and tour experience. They're treated like family, and fortunately, they enjoy our products, and they come back, and they bring people, and they bring people. So it's pretty neat.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
To Doug, protecting the historic tradition of alcohol distilling is a sacred charge. That means making sure everything you get from Moonrise Distillery comes from nature. Nothing artificial about these spirits.
Being a family operation, you know, we feel like we serve something bigger than ourselves. The old adage that sounds kind of hokey, but it's pretty true, you know, is character's what you do when people aren't looking. Right. So, you know, our thing here is we answer to something bigger than ourselves. Part of it is that culture of dedicated generations that had been doing this craft for years and years and years, and their daddy taught them and their granddaddy taught them and so on and so on. So I can't compromise. I'm not going to use artificial flavorings. I'm not going to use, you know, things that don't occur in nature. If it doesn't occur in nature, I'm not going to use it. I'm not a fan of chemicals or processed sugar. So instead of sweetening with those substances, I use local honey from Blue Ridge Honey Company, right? And so we tease. We say, so honey's better for you than sugar, and honey's good for your immune system. So therefore, these are health foods, maybe.
Okay,
so
I like that.
We stretch that a little bit.
Maybe it's a stretch. Maybe it's not. I don't know. I guess it depends on who you ask, right? What I do know is that Blue Ridge Honey Company was the subject of another Fork in the Road episode, Buzzin' in Blue Ridge. Scroll down this podcast feed to maybe give that episode a listen. Now, let's get down to some science. Simply put, alcohol is made by putting grains, fruits, and vegetables through scientific processes called fermentation and distillation. Like most agriculture, it sounds easy but requires careful attention to detail for the best results. It all starts with the growing. But since we're not visiting a farm today, let's skip ahead to the mashing. That's where those grains, fruits, and vegetables are broken down to release the fermentable sugars. And a quick language arts lesson while we're at it, mash is the verb and the noun.
Our mashing process, really simple. We need to create a buffet line for our yeast. Our yeast is going to want to eat, and it's the nucleus of everything that happens here, right? Well, we formulate our own yeast. In order to get the flavor compounds that we're looking for, we need to feed the yeast what it wants to eat.
Yeah.
So we use all four major grains, right? Corn, barley, wheat, and rye. So each one of those grains gives us sugar, but it also gives us nutrients that when the yeast eats those nutrients, creates a layer of complex flavor. What we call the cinder blocks in the foundation that we're gonna build our bourbon house on top of. Corn is gonna give you one set of nutrients, wheat, different and distinct, rye and barley, right?
Yeah.
So when we do that, you're gonna find you've got a really good firm foundation. The whole point of this, harvest sugar and nutrients. It's that simple.
For the building blocks of these spirits, Moonrise Distillery keeps it as simple as possible.
The fact that I use only four major grains, right? To find a four grain now, there's only two major companies that still do it. Everybody else is trying to reduce the cost, the time, and the complexity of making bourbon. So they're reducing the number of grains they use. Every type of grain translates to another layer of complex flavor. We want to use all four major grains. We use heirloom white corn grown right here in the county.
Nice.
It's gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
So you map the grains to the yeast, right? Because the yeast is going to consume all those nutrients and all that sugar. And it's going to build that beautiful foundation that this was built on.
Among other factors, the main ingredient of the mash will determine what the whiskey is called.
Now, what's happening with most rye whiskeys, right? To be bourbon, one of the criteria is it's got to be at least 51% corn, majority corn.
Okay.
Rye whiskey doesn't. Has to be majority rye. Okay. A whole bunch of other rules we won't bother people with right now. But that's the bottom line, right? So rye is the most expensive grain a distillery has to buy. So what people are doing that want to make a rye is they're omitting other grains. And when they omit those other grains, what happens to the balance? Leans too far to the right, to the rye, right? Yeah. Well, this uses all the same four grains as the bourbon, just in different proportions. So you keep the balance. You get some of that beautiful mouthfeel and all that.
And so now that we've mashed our own mash, the next step is called fermentation. That's where the yeast that Doug was talking about comes into play.
Now, remember, if you don't take anything away from today, remember this. The only place in a distillery, and if you're on Jeopardy, don't miss this, you'll make us both look bad.
Right.
The only place in a distillery that creates physically alcohol is fermenters.
Okay.
So, but we have a problem. The problem is that yeast eating sugar creates alcohol, but alcohol kills yeast. So, CJ, our son, the assistant head distiller, was pumping out the mash that was cooking all day today. And when he pumps that into that fermenter and adds our yeast, there's 100 million yeast cells in there.
Okay.
And they're gonna go to town. And they're gonna eat oxygen. They're gonna replicate to the point where there's 400 billion of those. As that yeast is consuming those sugars and creating alcohol, the alcohol percentage is going up to the point where it becomes volatile to the yeast and it kills the yeast.
So the yeast creates the alcohol, but the alcohol kills the yeast. Got it. The solution to that problem lies in the next step, the process of separating the alcohol from the water called distillation.
When you go into a distillery, ask them the question, what's your alcohol by volume at the end of their fermentation process? If they say it's higher than 14%, that can't be, because yeast can't tolerate any alcohol higher than 14%. So how do we increase the alcohol percentage? That's 60% alcohol. So how did we get from 14% to 60%? And the answer is we separated the alcohol from the water.
Okay?
And that's what we use the first still for, right? So the stripping still, the entire objective is to increase our alcohol by volume by separating alcohol from water. And we now take our chemistry hat off, we put our physics hat on, right? So having a background in chemistry, physics, and biomedical engineering helps a lot.
Sure it does.
What helps more is apprenticing under some really smart old guys, right? So we know that alcohol starts to vaporize at 172 degrees. We know that water boils at 212 at sea level. We're higher than sea level.
Okay.
So we boil at 211. So while we're running this in that big old beautiful kettle, we got to stop at 210 because our whole goal is to leave all the water here and pull all the alcohol off over here. Well, if I let that get to boiling point, what's going to happen? The water's going to come across.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
The reason for distillation is to filter out all the filler chemicals from the alcohol. One of the big differences between good and bad whiskey is often the time and care taken during this part of the process. Over 206 different alcohols are created through fermentation, and not all of them are things you want to drink.
Acetone, nail polish remover.
Yeah.
Acetylene, cutting torch fuel. Acetylhydrene, the new embalming fluid. Right?
Nothing I want in my body till after life.
But sadly enough, you are some people's products. You can kind of taste it. It's an off flavor, it's an off aroma.
Doug's deep scientific knowledge definitely comes in handy, but it's his integrity and dedication to quality which really makes a difference with these spirits.
Alcohol's like a crab cake, right? If I want a crab cake, I want all crab, no filler. You'll hear me say this all day, right? So, when you distill, if you reach a higher level, you realize we're not any smarter than each other. We all know the same science, we all know the same tradecraft, right? So the question is, what's our priority? Is it the best crab cake you can possibly make, or is it more crab cakes? So, said no one ever, let's automate to make a better product. Doesn't work that way, right? You automate to make more products, right? Which is why we are always by hand. Local ingredients wherever we can, and no yucky stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, again, picture this like pruning with a chainsaw.
Okay.
This is neurosurgery. I have the fancy glasses on, the lights, the magnifiers, everything, right?
Moonrise Distillery works hard, so you get nothing but the good stuff with their products, which begs the question, where does all that other stuff go?
And math helps us, right? So we know that equation for every one of the 206 alcohols until we get up to 207, right? Now, I won't let our customers put anything in their mouth that vaporizes before 190 or after 201. So if every alcohol vaporizes at its own unique temperature, how many did I keep? 11, good job.
Yeah, thank you.
So, well done, not just a pretty face. So that's what we keep.
Yeah.
So everything that vaporizes from 172 to 189 goes in a recycled tank, right? Again, we have zero waste coming out of this plant. Everything is recycled, right? Our spent grain goes to the cattle farmers, right?
Yeah.
So just remember, if you're in the north end of Raven County on Saturday morning and you see cows acting very peculiar, I know nothing about
them. They're not.
Because it's still got 25% alcohol in it.
Eating Moonrise goodies.
No, it's not hurting them. They have a four-chambered stomach. They tremendous nutrition from that, right?
After growing, mashing, fermenting, and distilling, the final step to creating the perfect alcohol is called maturation. This is where the spirits are placed into barrels to age and often blended to create a unique character and flavor profile. As Doug explains, this is the most important step to creating world-class, award-winning spirits.
The distillation part of what we do is hardcore science. The barrel house and blending, that allows us to bring in some artistic qualities too. So, so we get to create neat building blocks and then figure out how to orchestrate a symphony. Distilling is a science. Blending is an art, right? So when these elements from the barrel and the alcohol come together, it creates an expression. Every barrel's expression will be different. The silly analogy I use on my tours is in the front end science that we talked about in the stillhouse, we create nouns and verbs, and in the barrel and in blending, we create adjectives, adverbs, and we construct sentences. And if we do them well, then you really enjoy hearing them.
Who knew that sentence structures could be so fun? Now, before we get to my favorite part, the tasting, we need to talk quality control.
And so about 11 o'clock, I'll start testing barrels. I'll open them up and I'll grade them on six particular criteria, right? Some of them are subjective, right? Some of them are very, very detail-oriented. So we know that if we take a bourbon, unlike wine, where you want to see legs, right? In bourbon, we don't want legs at all. So there's a physics principle called surface cohesion. See how nothing's released, no legs? The more viscous a liquid, the more it will adhere to the side of the glass. And it will actually draw up into a fine halo of beads, right? So that's a really good indication for me of whether or not we've gotten to harvest all the sugars, lipids, and fatty acids out of there. So I can give it a rating from A to fail on how viscous that is.
The aging and blending part of the process is what gives the alcohol its distinct characteristics. That all depends on the type of wood used for the barrels, but distillers also use the seasons to their advantage.
In wine, they tend to want to keep their wines at a consistent temperature, low humidity. They keep them sealed to have oxygen not get in there. So they have to be treated with kid gloves, right?
Yeah.
Our bourbon barrels, we can beat the snot out of them.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We want them to get as hot as they can possibly get in the summer and as cold as they can possibly get in the winter. Right? So what happens is that liquid in here, nine atoms, right? Those nine atoms, when they get hot, all the electrons start going crazy and flaring around, and that molecule gets bigger. When it gets bigger in a confined space like a barrel, it builds up pressure. And that pressure is what actually drives that white whiskey into the barrel, right? And once it's in there, American white oak, that's an inch and an eighth stave. In that inch and an eighth stave, American white oak offers sugars, lipids, fatty acids, and flavor compounds that we call congeners. Right? So what we needed to make sure we did where we were in the stillhouse is to make sure that we've created a highly engineered catalyst and solvent that really wants to bond with all those sugars, lipids, and fatty acids when it goes in that barrel. So all summer long, they're playing bumper cars and they're combining. And then in the wintertime, when it starts getting cold, those electrons slow down and they tend to retract back into themselves. It's really kind of fascinating
stuff. So the seasons are really good for what you're doing here.
Yeah, they're huge.
Moonrise Distillery goes beyond what's required for distilleries. Even during maturation, they go the extra mile to get the most flavor and viscosity out of all their spirits.
The other thing about rye, nothing mandates that rye whiskey must be aged in a brand new American white oak barrel like the bourbon whiskey is, but we do it anyway.
Okay.
So think about it. If we have already harvested all the sugars, lipids, and fatty acids and flavor compounds when we had bourbon in the barrel, when we put the rye in the barrel, what's it going to get? Just some of the bourbon, right? It's the same issue with Scotch whiskey and Irish whiskey, right? They use used American bourbon barrels, which is why the mouthfeel is thinner, right? If you do a Scotch whiskey versus a bourbon whiskey, the Scotch whiskey is going to be a lot thinner mouthfeel-wise, right?
Yeah.
So to a bourbon drinker, it leaves you wanting more.
Right? Yeah.
Well, same thing. If you use a rye whiskey in a used barrel, it will be less viscous.
When alcohol is aging in barrels, yet another natural process occurs, which drives up the alcohol content.
Remember from scene one, that the only place in a distillery where alcohol is physically created is in a fermenter.
Right.
So
right.
Let's say we have two barrels side by side. We put both beverages in there at 120 proof. But one, when we actually go to grade the barrel, is at 132 proof. Did we make alcohol? No. The only place that makes alcohol is a fermenter. What did we do? We let water escape from the barrel, right? Out that what we call angel share.
Yeah.
So when all that pressure came through, it actually started to evaporate, right? It's kin to if we perspire, right? We get all worked up, we perspire, moisture comes to our skin and evaporates, cooling our body temperature, right? But also wicking up more moisture from inside of our skin, which is how we can potentially dehydrate if we're not careful. Same effect happens in a barrel. So as that barrel starts to aspirate, the surface of the wood becomes moist and it vaporizes, drawing more liquid out of the barrel, lowering its volume. So we didn't make alcohol, we lowered the volume. By lowering the volume, we increased the alcohol by volume. So we didn't make any, we just concentrated it, right? So we took chicken stock and we dehydrated it and concentrated it down into a chicken bouillon cube.
The term proof just refers to the ABV, or the amount of ethyl alcohol by volume in a spirit. When deciding what proof to make your alcohol, there are many considerations.
So this one, the single barrel, so that's 120 proof. Why did I put it at 120 proof? Convenience. Okay. If you're making a cocktail, 86 proof is a really good common place to be.
Yeah.
If you're sipping it neat, 90 proof is a real common place to be. But if you have that palate that can tolerate, you know, more alcohol, you're in manual tuning mode, okay? I put it at 120 because you may be somewhere from north of 90, which is why you didn't pull that one, but below 120. Now you use a combination of ice or water to put it where you want it to be, right? So this is manual tuning mode. Okay. So our 86 proof, preset number one on your FM dial, right? I'm looking to make a cocktail. There you go, I did all the work. You're sipping it, preset number two on your FM dial.
Yeah.
If you got a palate higher than 90, manual tuning mode.
A well-distilled and matured spirit will always stand out from the pack, even if you put it on the rocks.
That ice cube is three atoms, two hydrogen, one oxygen. They met at birth and they've been together ever since. So they're pretty much inseparable. This is nine atoms. They've been dating somewhere between 4 to 9 years. Still haven't made that ultimate commitment yet. So it's kind of a loose electrical bond of flavor and alcohol.
Yeah.
And a head-on collision, who's going to win? The ice is. So when you pour that over the ice, those atoms just blow apart. you'll see it because you'll look at the bottom of the glass and it'll all be swirling in there.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I coach people on is wait till it stops swirling. If you drink it right away, you're just gonna get alcohol. You want the alcohol and flavor. As soon as that swirling stops, they found their way back together.
Hmm.
Your next three sips are gonna be glorious. But if you leave it on the ice, every sip thereafter is gonna be watered down.
Fun fact, whiskey and tequila are made the same way, the only difference being the source material. Whiskey is made from corn and grains, while tequila is made from agave. Tequila also must be produced by one of five Mexican states, so you can't get it from Moonrise Distillery, but in their speakeasy bar, they can still make you a mean margarita using rye whiskey.
We make a margarita, fresh lime, fresh key lime, fresh ruby red pink grapefruit, local honey from Blue Ridge Honey Company, right, instead of sugar, and instead of tequila, that rye whiskey.
Huh.
It'd be the best margarita you ever had. We make a Bloody Mary, right? So we're an Italian family, so we take tomatoes very seriously.
Okay.
So Pomodoro tomatoes, uh-huh. Right? Best Italian tomatoes that you can grow. We have them grown for us right up here in the county. Fresh basil, fresh oregano, hand-grated horseradish, fresh celery, right? We even make our own Worcestershire sauce.
Now comes my favorite part of every episode about alcohol, the tasting. After all, what's the point of touring a distillery if you can't help with a little quality control, right?
Well, I'm doing a great job holding off on this part, because this is the part I'm looking forward to, but I am interested in the process here.
Cheers.
Cheers.
So that mouthfeel that you get
is
the combination, right? Notice there's no burn in the back of your throat.
None whatsoever.
So, physiologically, a lot of people don't realize this. We refer to what you feel here as warm. You want warm.
And right when you said that, I'm feeling that.
Feeling warm.
Yeah.
What you feel here, that tingly, warm feeling, right? That's heat. God did something clever for us. He put a little circuit breaker in our palate. And if we drink alcohol that's at a higher proof than our body's comfortable with, that circuit breaker will trip, and it'll turn your nose off, it'll turn your taste buds off, and it'll give you that tingly heat right here, saying, hey, numbnut, that's a little bit too hot, right? That's where you'll see people put an ice cube in it or something, right? And what's happening is that ice cube is melting a little bit, increasing the volume, lowering the ABV. So when you take your second sip, if it drops below your circuit breaker, it resets, turns your nose back on, turns your taste buds back on, and that tingly heat goes away. Right, so that's the physiology that's going on.
We've learned the physics, chemistry, physiology, history, math, and even a bit of grammar on this trip. Who knew a trip to an alcohol distillery could be so educational? All of Doug Nasser's knowledge comes together beautifully at Moonrise Distillery, but he gives most of the credit to the man upstairs.
All the elements of this are going to marry with all the elements of that. And if I've done my job right and got out of God's way, they're going to come together, right?
Yeah.
If I didn't, they're going to bump. It's not going to make a bad bourbon. It's just going to make a mediocre bourbon, right? So that's what's so beautiful is when you get to this, you can really assimilate all those different things, right? I have two rules in this plant. Rule number one, everybody's tastes are different. Don't ever let anybody tell you what you're supposed to taste.
Yeah.
And rule number two, if you like something, nothing else matters, right? So what I try to do is build a very balanced, complex bourbon that has a great mouthfeel and lingers a good long time, right? Can take on the big boys.
The education isn't over for Doug. With his expert level skills paired with a humbleness and a willingness to learn, great things will continue to happen.
We love creating, we love learning, and at the end of the day, there's no better blessing than being able to share something you're incredibly passionate about with people that are actually interested. And so we are grateful the additions and the expansions that we've been able to do over the years are a direct testimonial to that fact.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website. That's where you'll also be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.